Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I'm going to talk about some job statistics that I think are going to make you sit back in your chair and shudder a little bit. I mean, these are some statistics that I came up with that, although I'm not really in the job market, when I read these things, it made me shudder. It really did. I had grave concern. And the reason I had grave concern is that I know many, many people that are either in the hunt for a job or have a job and are looking to potentially change jobs. I know people that have a job that are hoping to get promoted within the organization. I know people that have moved from one place to another in order to take a job, even though there was no compensation involved with making that move. You know, it's scary. There's some scary statistics out there, and I'm going to talk about some of those things today because I think you need to know. The other reason I want to talk about these job statistics is I want to imprint upon your brain the concept that there is a better way, that you can change the paradigm of your life. You can change the road you're on, and you can start at any time. Life gives you a reset button. It is there. You just have to know where it's at, and you have to know when to push it. Now, real estate investing changed my life. It absolutely changed my life. By correctly investing in real estate, I was able to change my life by getting out of a job. I was able to walk away from a job that was not fulfilling me. It was not providing me, well, really anything other than a paycheck, to be honest with you. You know, I'd get up early in the morning. I'd do the things that I needed to do to get ready to go to work. I would get in my car. I would drive, if I was lucky, only 45 minutes to the job site. If I was unlucky and traffic was, you know, its normal traffic self, it could take me an hour, hour and 15 minutes to get there. That's just the way my commute was. And then when I got there, I was bombarded with all types of things that I had to focus on. Now, of course, there are rules within the job site that say you will work specifically on the tasks and the efforts that we give you. You will not socialize. You will not discuss topics. There, I mean, the whole concept of hanging out at the water cooler and, you know, cutting up with each other, that's not permissible at the job site. And you will stay there until we think it's time for you to go. And then when you finally get to go, you get to get back into your vehicle. In my case, it was making that 45 minute to an hour and 15 minute drive back home just to get home and hopefully prepare dinner and do the things that I needed to do in my personal time so that I could get to bed at a reasonable time, so that I could get the sleep that I needed, so that I could get up in the morning and do it all over again, hoping that I would get to the weekend and there wasn't a requirement from the job to come back over the weekend and do things that needed to be performed. Because at the end of the day, as an employee, I'm a cog in the wheel. I was just that. I was there doing things that were important to the organization, and I was trading my time for money. That's exactly what I was doing. And when I look back at my entire career of life and all of the jobs that I did, every one of those jobs required me to trade time for money. I mean, you can go back to my very first job was with the Valley Times. I don't even know if that newspaper is in existence anymore, but it was a small newspaper in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I think I was maybe 13 years of age. I'll just go with 13 years of age. I don't know if I was 12. I don't know if it was 14. I can't remember that far back, but I remember having the opportunity to get a paper out. I mean, I was going to go from having zero money to being absolutely wealthy for a 13-year-old. But this is what the job entailed. It entailed me getting up at 5 a.m. because that's when the bundle of papers was delivered to my doorstep. And I would get up, I would go get that bundle of newspapers, I would fold them. You know, remember your newspaper came folded? Remember it was tri-folded usually? You know, some of the bigger papers could only be folded in half. Well, this particular paper I could tri-fold, and I'd stuff the papers into my newspaper delivery bag. I didn't have a bicycle, but my brother did. So I would use his bicycle to load the paper bag onto the, well, not a paper bag, but the bag containing the papers, onto the bicycle, and I would go along my merry way. I think my route, when I calculated, was a total of 10 miles round trip. And I had a lot of different houses that I had to deliver to. And I had to do that every day. So it was a daily job. I didn't get weekends off. I didn't get holidays off. It was a daily job. And then once a month, I had the opportunity, usually on a Saturday, to go to each of those houses, knock on the door, and collect the fees that were due for the paper. And you know what? Some people snubbed me. Some people didn't pay me. I mean, that's just the way it was. I couldn't do anything about what was I going to do as a 13-year-old. You know, they just wouldn't pay. So I'd stop delivering them papers. But at the end of the day, I started in the path of working. I started doing the things that I continued to do for the bulk of my life, which was trading time for money. And when we come back, I'm going to get into some of these statistics that I think you need to hear about, because I know a lot of you are trading time for money and you want to know what's going on in the environment around you. We'll be back right after this.
Dell Wamsley explains how he found that speck of light that got him into the lifestyle.
I had a guy that used to come into the health club every day and work out for 4 hours a day, sit in the jacuzzi, swim, play racquetball, was happy, looked great, tan all the time. And one day I just asked him, what do you do for a living? And he said, Dell, I own real estate.
Well, do you own real estate? Register for our live online free workshop and find out how you can get all the things you want out of life with passive income. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Brought to you by Lifestyles Unlimited.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So in the last segment, I was imparting my wisdom as a paper boy back when I was around the age of 13, and the fact that I was trading my time for money. Now, you got to remember, I'd get up at 5 a.m. I was, I don't know what, junior high school, something like that, maybe seventh grade. I don't know what grade I was in at the age of that, 13. But I would get up, I'd do the things I needed to do. I'd literally ride for about 10 miles delivering papers every day. I'd come back, I'd get ready for school, I'd go to school, do what I needed to do. And, you know, one weekend a month, sometimes a second weekend, I would have to go back out on a Saturday and knock on doors to collect for the papers. That's how I made my money. And I was billed for the number of papers that were delivered to my house. So when somebody stiffed me, I basically had to eat it, because, you know, the papers, basically they took the subscriptions. They told me who was going to be on my paper route and stuff like that. They give me a little slip of paper when they drop the bundles off to add or drop somebody. But every once in a while, somebody just wouldn't pay, or they would get 1 month or 2 months behind. They just wouldn't pay. And I would either get to the point where, you know, I either collected or I didn't collect. And, you know, way back then, you know, we're going back a couple of days, I would estimate I probably made, I don't know, maybe 40, 50 bucks a month. To be honest with you, I can't remember how much money I made. But for me at that age, that was an incredible amount of money, because what I was able to do with that money was I primarily saved it. I didn't spend my money. You know, occasionally I'd go to a 7-Eleven and maybe, you know, buy something there, but because I had money, I could do that. But I saved my money. And my first major purchase was a bicycle, so that I could buy a tool that I needed to perform my job, because my employer did not provide that to me. And partially because my brother was getting tired of me always using his bike, you know, wearing out the tires and everything like that. So I got myself a bicycle, and I continued to do the paper route. And then another opportunity came up to go with one of the bigger newspapers. I think it was the Review Journal. I think they're still around in Las Vegas. And it was a smaller paper route as far as distance. I think I only went maybe 7 miles round trip, and the homes were more concentrated. I think I had basically three streets within a 4-block, I don't know, whatever it was. And it was an afternoon paper route, so I didn't have to get up at 5 in the morning to do the papers. I could do them when I came home from school. So, and it actually made a little bit more money. Well, time went on, you know, I became 16 years of age, and I went to work in fast food. Again, trading my time for money. And I did the fast food gig pretty much throughout high school until I had the opportunity to train and become a lifeguard. And then in the summers, I was able to work for a little more money, you know, while suntanning, so to speak. But basically, I was doing the same thing, trading time for money. Well, that occurred during college. I had to work during my college time to help pay for my room and board, because my scholarships didn't cover that, and I really got sick of taking out student loans. So I continued to trade time for money. And then I graduated, and I became commissioned as an officer in the United States Army. And again, I traded time for money, and I did that for 27 years until I effectively retired physically, but not financially, and had to go back into the workforce. Again, trading time for money. So what has all this got to do with you? It's exactly what you're doing. You are trading your time for money. And my point is this: you've got to start doing something a little bit different. And real estate investing gives you an opportunity to not trade your time for money. See, the focus of properly investing in real estate is that you can earn money effectively, passively. So you do spend a little bit of time, and I'm going to tell you, you're going to spend some time getting yourself properly educated, because you do not want to go into real estate without the proper tools in your tool bag. And I'll tell you, looking at the internet and all the garbage that's out there about real estate investing, I was going to do another show today about all the bad information that was out there. The problem I had was this: there's so much bad information out there, I didn't know which one to pick. I really didn't. So before the show started, I just scrapped the whole thing. And I said, let's change the topic, and let's talk about some of the things that are out there, some job statistics that are out there that you may or may not be aware of. So let's get into those things right now. You know, job discrimination for older workers is making it tough to find and keep a steady job. According to AARP, in one of their surveys, they noted that 48% of people age 50 and over have either witnessed or experienced age discrimination in the workplace. I've seen it. I've absolutely seen it. And the statistic goes on to say this. It says, now more than ever, employees are forced to find other ways to stay relevant in their positions. Companies fear older employees simply aren't worth the investment. Yeah, you heard me right. It said, I'll read it again. It said, companies fear older employees simply aren't worth the investment. Boy, I found that in my face when I left the military and was trying to find a job in the civilian sector. And it goes on to say this, and workers have reported being laid off, fired, not hired for a job, or passed up for a promotion due to age. That should scare you. That literally should scare you. Here's another one. As if just searching for a job isn't disheartening enough, now we've got to worry about whether, you know, the wool's being pulled over our eyes about what's expected of us come, you know, training day when you finally get hired. A survey found that 23% of those surveyed reported feeling misled during a job interview. Have you ever felt that? I know I have. Even more, 3 out of 10 job seekers felt it was often difficult to receive accurate information about the day-to-day details of a job during the interview process. Overly eager employees fail to ask the appropriate questions to ensure the job is not only a means to an end, in other words, a paycheck, but a match for their personal needs. You know, a lot of you are just happy to have the opportunity to get the job. I mean, in my particular case, between the military and getting back to work, that was a 10-month period of, I'll just use the word suck. You know, I had a retirement pension, wasn't paying what I needed to cover my expenses. I really, you know, was diligently looking for work, not getting any interviews. And I'll tell you what, when I finally got an interview and I finally got a job offer, I didn't care. Pull the wool over my eyes. I was just happy to have the opportunity to have a paycheck. But I will tell you, if I had been properly investing in real estate, and I was invested in real estate, but I was not properly invested in real estate, had I been doing that my entire military career, instead of incorrectly investing in real estate, things would have been a lot different for me. Hey, more statistics that will scare you when we come back from the break.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
I'm talking about job statistics that should scare you. I mean, the reality of the situation is this. You are trading time for money, and the things that you're doing aren't getting you any closer to retirement than you were, say, 5 or 10 years ago. And I would tell you that if you've been doing the same thing for the past 5 years and it hasn't gotten to you to a place where that you can call retirement, then what you're doing is ineffective and it needs to change. According to, I'm going to butcher this company's name because I don't know how to pronounce it. It's Udemy. Maybe I got it right. 52% of full-time employees in America feel more stressed today at work than they did 1 year ago. They go on to say workplace stress and happiness leads to certain health dangers. And unfortunately, many stress factors are beyond our control. 60% of the United States workers are stressed out all or most of the time at work because of outside triggers, such as maybe the political climate. Not that any of that's going on right now. That came in at 50%. Or inside triggers, such as a fear of losing their job. That came in at 43%. Or changing job responsibilities. That came in at 52%. And being unhappy at work can cost you more than just a salary. There's a strong correlation between workplace stress and serious illness, such as heart disease and anxiety. And I'll tell you what, I'm a firm believer in that. I think they got that absolutely right because, you know, when I left the military and all of that stress that I had been dealing with for many, many years, because, you know, being in the military is a pretty stressful job, my health deteriorated. It did. I became very ill after I left. And so I think they get that right. They did a newer study that also linked job hatred to a shorter lifespan. So they go on to say this, choose your career wisely. You know, one could say your choice is literally a matter of life and death. Yeah, I'm being sincere with you. You know, here's another stat. People are staying in the workforce longer. Baby boomers are moving past retirement age and remaining in the workforce longer than prior generations did. The percentage of workers ages 65 and older in full-time jobs more than doubled from 4% in 2002 to 9% in 2016. Whether it's due to a lack of adequate savings or an inherent desire to keep working longer, yeah, I don't know about that. Retirement seems to be getting further and further away for some people. Either way, retiring at the age of 65 is no longer guaranteed. So for those of you that have that target, I'm going to get to age 65 and everything will be golden. I've been stuffing money into my IRA, or I've been putting money into my company's 401k and I get matching funds. It's going to get me to a place of retirement so that at the age of 65, I'll have this big pile of money and I'll be able to spend all that money for the rest of my life. I tell you what, it's failing people. It is absolutely failing people. That concept alone is causing many people to not retire when they think they're going to retire. And I'll tell you, statistically, I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. I've reported them on earlier shows. Statistically, you are not saving enough money to sustain the lifestyle that you desire in retirement. Guaranteed. It's just not happening. Very, very few people are making that reality work. So here's another stat. This one, boy, it caught me off guard. It says professional ghosting is becoming more common. Did you know that the dating and professional worlds they seem to be colliding, and not in a fun way? You know, ghosting is a term typically used to describe a point in which all communication between you and another person ceases in the dating world. And it's now being applied to the job search. Just because you had a great interview with the company doesn't mean you'll get any type of response or feedback from the team. And according to CareerBuilder, they say that 75% of workers who applied to jobs in the past year have not heard back from the employer, regardless of the decision to move forward. Many hiring professionals are choosing a vow of silence to avoid becoming the bad guy. And though unprofessional, they feel they need to dodge confrontation when announcing a job is no longer available. You know, my daughter's boyfriend, he graduated from college. When did he graduate? Last December, okay? So just before the whole coronavirus thing. And, you know, he got a degree. Well, he didn't got, he earned it. I mean, he did everything he was supposed to do to earn that degree. He has a degree in cyber stuff. Basically, it's IT related with an emphasis on cybersecurity and all that, you know, the cool stuff, because that was the buzz, 3 to 5 years ago. That's where the jobs are going. And, you know, he was interested. He likes computers and stuff. He's good at it. So he went and got that degree. Well, he earned that degree, I should say. And he immediately went into job search mode. I helped him get his resume together. Not a whole lot on his resume, because what can you say? You know, he graduated with honors from a 4-year institution, had great grades, studied real hard, had some, you know, jobs on the side so that, you know, he can show that he's at least responsible. And, you know, resume after resume went out. He received a response from an employer, and that employer said, hey, let's do this. You're on the list of candidates that we would like to interview. Let's have that interview. So I'll tell you what, he was pumped. He finally, after all this time, and this happened literally 2 weeks ago, after all this time, he finally got that job interview. So he, you know, I coached him up and everything, because I want the guy to be successful. I want to help him, you know? So we did a little mock interview. We got him ready, and he was ready. I mean, he was polished. He knew how to answer tough questions. He went to the interview. After the interview, I said, hey, how did it go? He said, man, I thought it went really well. You know, it was a great dialogue, good communication presence. They said that, you know, based on the interview, they would follow up with him and let him know. But, you know, he seemed very promising. So he walked away from that interview, you know, beaming. He thought, hey, I'm going to get this job, right? Well, I talked to him yesterday and I said, how's that thing going? What's going on with that particular job interview? Have you heard back from him? You know, he said, crickets. Heard nothing. I said, well, did you follow up with them? He said, I sent a letter to them through snail mail saying, thank you very much for the opportunity to interview. Still very, very interested in the position. Can you please reach out to me and let me know what the step is? He sent that in a text to the person that he was in communication with. He sent that in an email. So, I mean, he hit all three basic forms of communication. And you know what he heard back? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And, you know, it kind of was a gut punch to him. I said, you know, shake it off, man. You're going to have to get back in the saddle and you're going to have to do what you have to do. But that stuff is real out there. It's real. Now, here's another statistic. There's pressure to work well beyond traditional work hours. Yeah. And I experienced this when I worked for a municipality. Over 85% of men and 66% of women work more than 40 hours per week. And they work over 258 hours more per year than their European counterparts, equating to about an hour more time spent at the office each day. Now more than ever, workers forgo vacation to appear more dedicated to their work and avoid missing out on a raise. Employers can never actually say that they expect workers to go beyond the traditional 9-to-5 effort. But we all know the promotion usually goes to the one putting in the most hours. Yeah, I'm telling you what, that should scare you. If you're not an hourly employee, if you're a salaried employee, they can work you as long as they want to because they don't have to pay overtime, but they can make you work the overtime. More statistics when we come back.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Walmsley, on the effective way to run a business.
There are people that run their businesses on a shoestring. If you own an apartment complex and you have no cash, that's not a very effective way to run a business. My businesses, each and every one of them, have cash savings. In other words, we can make no money or make very little money. We'd still survive. For those of you that haven't thought it through that far and you don't have any cash savings, let's get you in here and get you educated on how to save what you already own. The mom and pop businesses are going to take a major hit. If you've been running your business that way, you need to get into Lifestyles right now and learn how to operate your business the right way.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Whether you love your job, you hate your job, you tolerate your job is immaterial. You are trading your time for money and hoping that that money is going to provide you the lifestyle that you currently have and more so is preparing you for retirement in the future. And I'm here to tell you, companies, they can let you go for any reason at any time. You know, you could be the best employee in a company. And I'll tell you what, if that company is bleeding money, it doesn't matter how great of an employee you are. You may be one of the few that gets to stick around, but if that company is on a downward slope and heading towards, you know, insolvency, you're going to be out of a job. And that leads me to my next statistic. Did you know that an unexpected job loss will cost thousands of dollars in retirement setbacks? I'm not making that up. According to Money Magazine, they report that 61% of people have lost a job for, get this, longer than a year by the time they reach age 70. Losing a job is more common than you might think in an unstable economy, as nearly a quarter of people have experienced 4 or more of these shocks in a lifetime. These types of financial setbacks often cause people to dip into their retirement accounts, you heard me, and ruin their chances at, you know, securing that quote unquote nest egg that you're building towards. And unfortunately, 32% of early withdrawals are by workers in low-income housing, according to Money Magazine. And in these cases, research from the National Endowment for Financial Education predicts retirement savings would be reduced by an average of $6,218 per episode, or nearly $25,000 after 4 years of basically this happening to you. You know, it's the way it is. You lose your job, you have to turn to whatever assets that you have. And for many of you, the only asset that you have is that giant savings account out there called your 401k or your IRA or your 403b or your SEP or your simple or whatever you're putting your money into. And you got to live, right? So what do? You dig into the money. The federal government is allowing people right now who have been affected by COVID and who meet certain conditions to withdraw up to $100,000 of that retirement money to help them through this pandemic period. Now, they're graciously waiving the penalty, and they're graciously giving you a extended period of time. I think it's up to 3 years to pay back the loan with with interest. Yeah, it's out there. So don't quote me on that. I'm not the expert on that stuff, but I know people that have done that. They have tapped into that money because of what's going on is financially impacting them and their jobs. Did you know that older employees are at a greater risk of job loss? It's true. Companies are more likely to get rid of older, more experienced employees for newer, cheaper workers. Knowledge and expertise aside, your seemingly steady job may not be as safe as you think it is. Age discrimination in the workplace is common, and many fear the influx of younger, more technologically savvy workers will force older employees back onto the jobs market. I'll be honest with you, that's a very scary statistic to me, and it should be for you, especially those of you that are getting closer to what you think is retirement age, and maybe you're counting on your employer contributions to help you fund such a lifestyle. And here's another stat that scares me. Wage growth is basically stagnant. It is. If you want to see just how slow the economy is recovering right now, okay, we should look no further than the U.S. wage growth. It rests at 2.5%, and that was as of June of 2017. So that's an older statistic, but I will tell you, it's being impacted right now in our current situation, which is low compared to the target that the government sets of 3.5 to 4%. So regardless of upticks and downticks of both unemployment and monthly job growth, the fact remains that employers are just not offering competitive wages to those who are looking for work. And, you know, the job market right now is just absolutely nuts. It's absolutely nuts. There are a lot of people that have been affected by the COVID shutdown. There are companies that have shuttered their doors. There are others that have expanded. There are people, I mean, I have residents in some of my single family properties who have been dramatically impacted by this event. And they've done the right thing. I mean, one guy lost his job. So what did he do? He went to work in the grocery industry, basically stocking shelves. And he took on not one job, but two jobs because he had to replace the money that was lost when he was let go. Now he's doing the right thing. He's taking care of his family. He's honoring his commitment in his lease. And it's not affecting me from a financial standpoint because I did a great job of selecting him as one of my residents. I had another resident that, you know, everything was looking great. He had money. He had been basically let go. He had money in savings. He got his government stimulus checks. Those things helped. But the problem is he ran out of money. Now, the good news for him was he was able to find another job, but that job isn't paying him what the previous job was paying him. Is he still able to make good on his obligations to pay his rent? Yes, he is. He is absolutely doing the honorable and correct thing. He have a business arrangement codified by what is called a lease, and he is doing what he needs to do, and therefore my rental properties are continuing to produce. And that gets me to a point I want to make to you. When you decide that what you're doing isn't working, when you finally have that epiphany that you're on a roller coaster ride, that you're not in control of your life, that your life is being controlled by your job or your employer or other external forces, you have to make a change. You do. And I'll tell you, the change that I made was learning how to invest correctly in residential income producing real estate. Now, I'd been investing in real estate long before I became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, but I was following somebody else's roadmap. I was following I'll just be honest with you. It was a no money down program because, to be honest with you, I didn't have a lot of money available to me. So I studied their techniques and all the things that they told me I needed to do. I went out and employed them. I went and bought a piece of property. In hindsight, I paid way more for the property than I should have, but I didn't know. I spent time working on that property myself. I was my own repair crew. I was my own handyman, if you will, because nobody had taught me the significance of working on my business, not in my business. And that's exactly what I was doing. I was working in my business. I was following flawed philosophies that it was okay to have negative cash flow. I was paying money out of my pocket every month because I thought the properties would go up in value. And, you know, over a 20-year period, they did double in value. But it took 20 years to do that. And when I sat down and I really looked at what I was doing from a financial standpoint, I was an idiot. I really was. But, you know, in fairness to me, I didn't know what I didn't know. I just didn't know it. And then, you know, along the way, I found Lifestyles Unlimited. And I started listening to these radio shows, and the information that was being presented to me made sense. So I went to a Lifestyles Unlimited free workshop. At that time, we were doing them in person. Right now, we're doing them all virtually. And I'll tell you what, I think it's a great way to reach out and give you the information you need to have. And in doing so, I realized that there was a better way, that what I had been doing was ineffective and it needed to change. And I had gone through a significant financial catastrophe when I left the military and I spent 10 months trying to get into a job that I absolutely hated. Loved the work, hated the environment, you know, but I was stuck. My roadmap at that point had me working until the age of 70. I mean, I couldn't find another way out. And then Lifestyles Unlimited appeared on my radar. And I became a member, and I went through the educational program. You know, in a 16-hour period of time, I was able to unscrew all the things that I had screwed up, and I was able to turn around the single-family residential properties that I had to where they were cash flowing. I started doing the things that, well, Lifestyles Unlimited taught me, and more so, I got involved with multifamily investments. I'm a passive investor in multifamily apartment communities, and I'll tell you what, you know, everybody's screaming doom and gloom. My investments are doing extremely well. There, as a matter of fact, I got another email today from another one of my investments. We thought that, you know, we had all agreed we would hold off on distributions before this quarter because we were concerned about the economic impact. Well, the impact wasn't that great. I got a distribution. It's amazing that my real estate is producing for me the way my real estate is supposed to do it. So if you want to get more information, check out a free workshop at freeworkshoplivestream.com. That's freeworkshoplivestream.com. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. Have a great day.
For listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.